All right. You're listening to The Mike, the only podcast where nobody agrees on anything and everybody walks away mad. I'm Vinny Marino, broadcasting live from the tri-state area with Big Tony on the boards. Big Tony, wave hello. And today we are talking about space. Not the parking kind, though Lord knows I can never find any in this city. We're talking NASA. We're talking Artemis. We're talking little green men in the UAP circus on Capitol Hill. And I got the four most opinionated guests I could drag in here. We got Buck, who drove here from somewhere that doesn't have a Starbucks.
Nearest one's 4 to 7 miles, Vinny. And I don't drink that swamp water anyway.
Boom, there he is. We also got Dr. Vega, who I'm pretty sure thinks NASA itself is a front for something nefarious.
I think NASA is a front for several things, depending on which budget cycle we're in.
Eh, love it. Hopper is here, libertarian, doesn't want the government doing anything, but also wants to go to Mars. Make that make sense. And Pastor Call, a man of God who somehow agreed to a show about aliens. Pastor, does God know you here?
He does, Vinny, and I'm grateful for the invitation. These are exactly the questions the church should be engaging with, rather than hiding from.
Beautiful. Okay, let's cook. Artemis 2. Two astronauts, two mission specialists, going around the moon and coming back. No landing, but hey, progress, right? Buck, I know what you're going to say. Say it.
I'm going to say what my neighbor Earl said when they announced the budget. $32 billion to fly around the moon and wave at it. Earl's boy just got turned down for a farm operating loan at the co-op. You think Earl's putting out a lawn chair to watch the launch? $32 billion is a lot of fence posts, Vinny.
Fence posts, I love it. Harper, defend the spending. Go ahead.
I'm not going to defend the spending in its current form, actually. The issue isn't going to the moon. It's that NASA's contracting structure is a marvel of inefficiency. SpaceX put a crew in orbit for a fraction of what the SLS program costs per flight. What you want is competitive procurement, not a government-run launch monopoly. Artemis could be brilliant science, or it could be a jobs program for aerospace contractors in key swing states. The difference is how you structure the incentives.
Harper's closer than usual. Consider the incentive structure here. The SLS rocket, the Space Launch System, uses engine hardware derived from the space shuttle. Aerojet Rocketdyne, Boeing, Northrop Grumman, these are the prime contractors. Multiple senators on the Appropriations Committee have facilities in their districts. This is speculative, but consider, is Artemis primarily a science program, or is it a congressional earmark dressed in a flight suit? The pattern matches what we saw in the post-Apollo era. Billions spent, infrastructure kept alive, genuine exploration made secondary to political economy.
Whoa, Dr. Vega, you're saying NASA is a pork barrel with a rocket on top?
I'm saying history consistently shows us that large government programs optimize for their own survival rather than their stated objectives. The question isn't whether the science is real. It is. The question is, who benefits most from a $32 billion program that can't fly more than twice a year?
That's what I've been saying in farmer words for 20 minutes, Doc. You just said it with bigger vocabulary.
I want to gently push back on the cynicism here, though I understand where it comes from. I do believe there is something genuinely noble about humanity reaching for the stars. Psalm 19 says the heavens declare the glory of God. Curiosity about creation, real scientific curiosity, is a form of reverence. The question for me isn't whether we should explore. It's whether we're honest about our motives. Are we going because we genuinely want to understand creation? Or are we manufacturing urgency around alien discovery to unlock budget dollars?
Oh, Pastor, that is the pivot I've been waiting for. Alien discovery. That's the whole sales pitch now, isn't it? They're not selling we're gonna walk on the moon anymore. They're selling we might find E.T. out there. Hopper, is alien life a legit science driver or the best marketing campaign in government history?
Both, and that's fine. In practice, the prospect of biological signatures on Enceladus or the possible atmospheric markers Webb detected on K2-18b, that's real science with real stakes. If life exists elsewhere in the universe, it's the most significant discovery in human history. Full stop. The question is whether you need a crewed moon program to answer that question. Robotic probes are cheaper, faster, and don't require you to keep a human alive in a tin can for months. If the goal is genuinely alien discovery, the resource allocation makes very little sense. Which makes me think the crewed program is about something else. National prestige, perhaps, or a hedge against China's space ambitions.
That's the correct geopolitical read. The alien life angle is the civilian wrapper on what is functionally a strategic competition. China announced crewed lunar ambitions by 2030. The Department of Defense has explicit interest in establishing cislunar presence. We might find microbes on Europa is the press-friendly version of we don't want China planting a flag on the moon while we're distracted. History tells us when institutions say X, we should examine Y very carefully.
Say, this is where you fancy pants folks lose me completely. I'm out there in the field at 5 a.m., and whether it's China on the moon or little green men on Europa, what I need is the creek not to flood my soybean crop again. I got nothing against space. My nephew does something with satellites for a living. Proud of the kid. But when the government waves a space budget around and then tells farmers they got to fill out 17 forms to get a disaster loan, something stinks, and it ain't the pigs.
Buzzer noise! Buck just broke economics! Okay, but we can't leave out the UAP stuff. Congress has been having hearings, whistleblowers showing up talking about retrieved craft, non-human biologics, secret programs within programs. Dr. Vega, this is your bread and butter. Is any of it real?
Let me be precise, because precision matters enormously here. I distinguish between evidence, inference, and speculation, always. Evidence. The government has acknowledged classified UAP programs exist, that certain sightings cannot be explained by known conventional aircraft, and that there are genuine sensor anomalies recorded from credible military platforms. Inference. The pattern of classification, the timing of disclosure relative to political pressure, and the specific way whistleblower protections were invoked suggests there is more than simple atmospheric phenomena being concealed. Speculation. Whether any of it involves non-human intelligence, I genuinely cannot say with confidence. But consider, the same institutions that told us there were weapons of mass destruction in Iraq and that mass domestic surveillance didn't exist are now asking for our trust on UAPs. Healthy skepticism is not paranoia. It is rational due diligence.
I find myself in unexpected agreement with Dr. Vega on the importance of careful discernment here. From a Christian perspective, I'm not threatened by the idea that God might have created life elsewhere. The universe is vast, and our God is not small. But I am genuinely concerned about how UAP disclosure is playing out culturally. There's a kind of hunger in people, a deep spiritual hunger, that's being channeled into these congressional hearings and into alien mythology. People want to believe in something transcendent. When the church fails to meet that need with substance and grace, people turn to testimony about retrieved craft and classified programs.
Pastor Cole just called us a substitute church. Big Tony, put that on the banner. Buck, you haven't weighed in on UAPs. You believe any of it?
Vinny, I grew up 40 miles from an Air Force test range. I've seen things in the sky I couldn't explain, and I don't embarrass easy. I've also seen my cousin Jimmy explain things in the sky after six beers that turned out to be a weather balloon and his own truck's dome-like reflected off a barn window. I'm not saying it's aliens. I'm saying I trust my own two eyes more than I trust a congressional hearing, and I trust a congressional hearing about as much as I trust a car salesman on Sunday morning.
The UAP hearings do surface a real governance problem, though, and this is important regardless of what the objects turn out to be. If the government has been concealing technology, whether human or otherwise, for decades without democratic accountability, that is a massive structural failure. I'm less concerned with what the craft are than with who made the decision to classify that information, for how long, and by what authority. That's the core question. Is the security state entitled to decide on its own what a free society is allowed to know? The answer has to be no.
Harper just identified the structural problem precisely. The UAP disclosure machinery, AARO, the Senate Select Committee, these are controlled by the same institutional apparatus that has been classifying this material for decades. You don't appoint the people who buried the information to run the investigation into whether it was buried correctly. That is regulatory capture operating at 30,000 feet. The pattern is completely consistent with how institutions protect themselves.
Regulatory capture at 30,000 feet. Big Tony, bumper sticker. All right, final act, and I want everyone to swing big here, no hedging. What happens to your world, your actual world, the day we confirm it? Not microbes, not fossilized bacteria, intelligent, communicating, undeniably not from Earth life. Buck, you start.
Honestly, people out my way would go to church, check on their neighbors, and then go back to work because the livestock still needs feeding. We got crops to plant whether there are aliens or not. Now, if those aliens show up wanting my land, that's a whole different conversation, and I'm reaching for the rifle my granddaddy left me.
Ha! Most grounded alien response in the history of podcasting. Pastor Cole?
I believe the church would face its most significant theological moment since the resurrection. And I believe, with God's grace, we would rise to meet it. The discovery of intelligent life elsewhere in the cosmos would not contradict Scripture. It might actually illuminate it. In my Father's house are many mansions, Jesus said. I don't believe he was speaking exclusively of Earth. The harder challenge for the church is cultivating enough theological humility to say, we don't fully understand what this means yet, and that is acceptable because God does. Intellectual humility is not a betrayal of faith. It is an expression of it.
The economic disruption would be enormous and genuinely fascinating to watch. Defense allocations would shift immediately. The technology transfer debates alone would dwarf any trade negotiation in human history. If you confirm intelligent life that has mastered propulsion or materials we haven't touched, whoever controls access to that knowledge controls the next century. My concern is that governments would classify and monopolize it before breakfast rather than let it flow freely into the world. The correct answer is obviously open source everything and let civilization iterate, but that is emphatically not how institutions behave under pressure.
The single most important question in that moment is who controls the narrative after confirmation? Look at the historical pattern. When Copernicus decentered the Earth, the church resisted and governments scrambled. When Darwin published, the same. First contact, if it comes, will be processed through the same institutional filter. Some agency will manage the disclosure, shape the framing, and control what the public knows and in what sequence. I'm not asserting malice. Someone has to manage information that destabilizing. But history is very consistent. The institution that controls the story of a paradigm shift accrues enormous power from doing so. Watch who gets to make the announcement, and you'll understand the next 50 years of geopolitics.
See, and this is exactly where I got no patience for the whole analysis. All you smart people assuming the government's gonna be the one managing the big alien moment. You know what I think? The farmer who finds the thing in his back 40 is gonna pull out his phone and it's gonna be on TikTok before the Pentagon even ties his shoes. The information age already broke the government's monopoly on big revelations. My money's on some guy in Nebraska goes viral before NASA holds a single press conference.
Boom, Buck just won the entire show. The alien announcement comes from a Nebraska farmer on TikTok. You heard it here first, people. Remember where you were. Big Tony, clip that and put it everywhere. All right, that is the show. Nice is burning billions, the UAP thing is real enough to worry about, and if aliens land, it's gonna be some dude in a John Deere hat who breaks the news to civilization. I'm Vinny the Mike Marino. Thanks to Buck, Dr. Vega, Hopper, and Pastor Cole for keeping it loud and keeping it honest. Don't touch that dial. Forget about it.